Coming up on Patriots This Week, it was Tom Brady's first chance to play the 49ers in the Bay Area. It was homecoming.
I've always, you know, loved the team and the organization until 2000 when I loved another team and another organization.
He may be the most accomplished quarterback in NFL history, but going home can bring out the child in any of us.
To see Tom Rathman before the game, I mean, I idolized him.
But now Brady is the American idol, and one of his four touchdown passes even impressed his coach.
I thought Tom made a great play on the touchdown. Dammy, tremendous play.
This Thanksgiving weekend, it's Bill Belichick headed to a place he once called home. But this is a business trip.
You know, it'll be tough down there, hostile environment.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
For the Patriots, a trip to the Bay proved to be a happy homecoming for Tom Brady and Julian Edelman as they struck first in the Patriots' 30-17 win over the 49ers. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week, and we hope you and yours are enjoying a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Bob Soucy with my radio partner from 98.5 of the Sports Hub, former Pats quarterback Scott Zolak, and a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Patriots, Matt Chatham.
You look like you gained 7 pounds since yesterday.
Seven and a half.
How much turkey you eat? Trip to
I'm still working on it. Just a slight break for this segment to talk about the Patriots' win over the San Francisco 49ers. Not that the Pats got especially fat against the 49ers. It was a bit of a struggle for a while, 13-10, until the Patriots pulled away in the fourth quarter. But nonetheless, I mentioned Brady to Edelman, a beautiful throw to get things started for the Patriots.
Yeah, and it's a heck of a throw. It's almost reminiscent of the old David Patton throw back to 2001 in the Super Bowl. I have good memories for this guy. We really haven't seen these guys really get in super rhythm. When I say super rhythm, when Edelman gets 11 targets, it's 10 catches to him. There are several times where I think Tom really is, you know, I don't want to say squeezing a stick too hard, but, you know, to use a hockey term, but really wants the big play to him. And you can see the deep return stuff. It's good they got the touchdown early in the game. I thought it was good complimentary football off that drive.
It's raining sideways. You're playing a goofy offense from Chip Kelly. The sideways stuff came especially heavily in that second and third quarter. So anytime you go back into halftime and say, hey, that's what we saw, that's what we digested, let's make an adjustment, then it comes down even harder. You just have to get through it. And then as soon as it sort of started to trickle, things lightened a bit. That's really when you saw the offense come alive. That fourth quarter, they really sort of put the screws in.
They scored on their second scoring drive with a James White screen pass from Brady. I want to get your thoughts about the combination of White, the return of Deion Lewis, and LeGarrette Blount out of the backfield for the Patriots, the production they got from the running game, but also the passing game to the running backs.
Yeah, I think the nice thing is Blount's been the same guy from week one, and we're not seeing a drop-off. People are worried about a drop-off 12 weeks in if he got too many carries this late in his career. James White's pretty darn good. I think he's played himself into that third-down role, but when Deion's out there, it's another gear. And to have three different guys of three different skill sets, I think it gives Josh just the ability to do other things. We didn't have Hogan, didn't have Gronkowski. When those guys come back, and now you could spread six guys across, have fun covering them and figuring out which way Tom Brady is going to go with the football.
The other portion here, and we saw it actually in the Malcolm Mitchell touchdown, you saw a gun, and you saw a gun with split backs and on each side of them, Deion and James White. So the defense sort of has to make a choice. Are one of those two guys protecting? Is one releasing? They both go out. How does that affect sort of safety rotation, all that kind of stuff? And then all of a sudden, the other guy, Malcolm Mitchell's wide open. So I think you'll see that sort of moving forward, where sometimes they're targeted and sometimes not being targeted still can affect what's going out there just by virtue of their being on the field.
Started by talking about Brady's brilliance with a throw to Edelman. Let's continue with the offense before we get to the defense with really an amazing play. He's falling down, has the wherewithal to throw a pass in the back of the end zone. This is after spinning away from the pass rush to Danny Amendola.
I think that Tom, this late in his career, 17 years in, has sort of developed this feel in the pocket where, you know, I know Fran Tarkenton, his name's been brought up this week. I don't think he's Fran Tarkenton. I don't think he has crazy legs. But I think there's a Montana-esque evadability that he has in the pocket, sensing people. He'll take a quick peek back, look here, still slide up, and still know where the coverage is. But the play to Amendola, where he spun out, and you had a great call in the broadcast, he's falling down to the left. I think part of the falling down is the pressure that's coming, and that's where he's learned to sort of have this Gumby existence to him, to where he's absorbing the hit. He's going to make the throw, but yet get the body position to where I'm not going to get stand there and just get totally cracked.
Matrix-like.
Absorb
the
hit.
Matrix-like. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And whatever line of thinking that's working for him, if you believe the stuff and what waters and pills or whatever seeds he's eating, It's working because his ligaments have become a little more elastic.
In that community of quarterbacks, one of the things that they look at that they're very impressed about with Tom is that he doesn't take those hits. And that is almost a little bit towards that Peyton Manning thing. That was something that I think that was the difference between the two of them. I've always thought Brady clearly was a better quarterback, but Peyton never got hit. And that was kind of his one little thing where Tom in this last few years of his career has just, you can't get him. And that's frustrating as a defender. So his ability to slide and move, he probably had, if maybe you look at his best 10 evading throws in his career, three of them happened in that game, which is pretty incredible.
Well, his counterpart got hit, 5 sacks by the Patriots against Colin Kaepernick early in the game. Mm-hmm. What signs did you see from the defense as they still search for roles for guys?
Activity around the line of scrimmage, not sitting still. I think to what we talked about last week, I wanted to see McCourty brought down out of center field. It's time to put Daron Harmon back there. I think he's skilled enough to cover that. Devin's one of your better tacklers, better instinctive player. They got him. They got Chung around the line of scrimmage. They sent Chung first series of the game. That's why you get the first sack. And I just thought they did a good job maintaining their lanes. He could talk more to that stuff.
Really, really terrible second quarter drive. The one that I think it was second quarter, maybe late first, where the one that went 90 yards. That was poor. But again, I think we're at this point now where there's sort of hypersensitivity to any play they give up, right? We're judging them play to play, series to series, things like that. That was bad. It's going to happen. But the way they reacted to that, and I think even in that third and fourth quarter, some of these zone matches that everyone was sort of losing their minds about against Seattle became really good. They got off on some of those third and eights where sort of the route progression happened. They matched their guy correctly. They rally, they tackle, they get off the field. Real basic stuff.
Last couple of weeks, Jamie Collins has been traded. Jabal Sheard was left home on the trip to San Francisco, and then the league imposed a suspension of lineman Alan Branch. And a lot of people on the outside are questioning the leadership inside those locker room walls. You guys know the leaders on that defense, Hightower, McCourty, and others. You guys have been in that locker room, and you certainly know the head coach, Bill Belichick. Any concerns in that area on your part?
From a leadership standpoint, no. You're playing this team this week, the New York Jets. Their coach said that we're going to play Ryan Fitzpatrick because I'm worried about losing my locker room. Have you ever heard this coach talk about losing the locker room? He's going to do what's right for the football team. So go back several weeks. Cyrus Jones wasn't playing well. Maybe turning the football over. Not doing what he's supposed to do in a return game. Got beat in one of the games. So what happens? You end up sitting. You're inactive. But then he plays his way back in. Becomes practice squad player of the week. Had a nice punt return. Even though he dropped the ball 2 weeks ago. But there's signs there that he's coming back around. And it's nice that Coach Belichick treats veterans the same as that. Just because you're a veteran, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're going to play because you don't want to lose the locker room. If the veterans aren't doing their job the same way, say, a rookie like Cyrus is doing, and the fact Cyrus worked his way back in, I think it's a sign for the veterans, okay, if I'm inactive this week, think about what I'm doing that's not correct. Let's correct it, and let's get me back in there.
Put this real quickly with the Jabal Sheard situation. I'm saying this is no news. I'm not. I don't know anything necessarily on this situation, but my best guess is that he will actually be a part of this at some point. I think that may have been a wake-up call, but I think this is a little different. This isn't the Jamie situation. Obviously, with Branch gone, I think having that extra warm body and a guy that's very skilled.
You need bodies now. Yeah. So he's kind of back in.
Hopefully, this is just one of those moments, and this happens from time to time, where they need to give a guy a wake-up call. Unfortunately, it was a little more public than normal, but I think he'll respond pretty well.
Well said. Our conversation continues on the subject of communication, or lack thereof, for NFL officials right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The Putnam Player Spotlight is on Malcolm Mitchell. The 6'1", 200-pound rookie receiver made his biggest contribution of the season last week. Drafted in the fourth round, the 23-year-old had 4 catches against the 49ers. And the communications major from Georgia sent opponents a message with his 56-yard catch that sealed the win for the Patriots. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue on Patriots This Week, looking back at the Monday night game in Mexico City between the Raiders and the Texans. Certainly Houston got the raw deal, I think, on several spots during the course of that game, especially a key drive in the fourth quarter. And we've talked at various points this year about officiating. And while there are replay reviews, you guys have some ideas about making the process more efficient and getting the calls correct on the field, perhaps with more input from New York.
Well, I mean, that was the big brag, right, from the league, that they'd solved this problem. That, hey, let's take the pressure off the officials on the field. We've got all this technology. We've got a ventricle here that we can just take advantage of back in New York. They've got the eye, and they're going to make it all right, right? Well, it hasn't worked that way because there's 100,000 people in Mexico, a million or whatever at home watching this thing, and they clearly see they screwed up. The guy lands on the other side of the marker, both the yellow line, which I know is an official, and the markers themselves. How do you not get that right?
First drive of the game. You're Houston. You got an $18 million a year young quarterback who hasn't been great this year, finally hits DeAndre Hopkins out in the flat. Nice read, nice throw. He goes the distance. They call him out of bounds. Non-reviewable play. It's ridiculous. Who's on the game? I think it was our guy Tony Clint. Good old chatter teeth.
St. Cruz, Denver last year. Sunday night.
Well, I'm sorry, and I hate to bring this up. I think age is a factor. I don't think they can keep up the speed of the game.
And it's a Belichick recommendation. I know this is a homer show, but the idea that they don't have fixed cameras on the boundaries, that makes no sense. Because it's not fixed, you would have been able to tell if that heel was down or not. Instead, we're left to guess and then sort of bash the league on Mondays. They should be able to fix this so that they don't take the heel.
This really can't be that much money, right? I mean, you guys have kids, you have GoPros.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of advanced GoPro. You slice up the damn pylon, you stick the GoPro in, and let's work with that.
The only thing I'll say on pylon cams is they work awful well occasionally, but if it gets knocked or hit, I think the argument for fixed cameras is even beyond that. Just a few feet
back. Take the risk.
Something. But the point is, you can have a fixed camera. You don't have
no
to
question.
Have something. If for some reason somebody knocked the pylon and it got angled, you know, on a plate, because it's just foam. So
right. But also, too, I think you look at other leagues, the NHL. When there's a replay review, the officials on ice, they don't take a look at the replay. They wait for word from Toronto. Mm-hmm. In Major League Baseball, the umpires put on the headsets and they wait for word from New York. Why don't we have Dean Blandino and whoever else is in that studio ultimately just make the decision there?
Well,
they've got all the monitors. They can see clearly.
They could, but here's the problem. They make a lot of wrong decisions. So I think the bigger issue here is our rule book is too damn big.
I think everybody would appreciate having the rule book pared down.
I mean, I don't understand it. Even on some of the broadcast crews, they're blowing off the dust like on guys like Jerry Austin. You know, it looks like he's back here eating cookies. Next thing you know, he's wiping his mouth. And, oh, I don't know what it is. You tell me. And hey, let's pull out a 74-year-old guy to give us. No, we need to inject youth into it. That's the game's faster. It's bigger. It's faster. It's stronger. That's the problem. Football hasn't changed over the years.
Do you think an eighth official helps to solve that, just putting another body
on
the field?
Sure.
It absolutely helps. And then make them full-time and make them younger and all the things. Basically, there's a list of very simple, logical things that could get done that they don't. And that's the aggravation. I think at the end of the day, though, part of this goes back to philosophy. It's what the NFL believes in. The NFL believes in when you have a problem, you make 40 more rules. And when those 40 rules don't work, you make 40 more of them. And then when people don't understand those 40 rules, you condescend to them and bring in an old dude to explain them and be wrong half the time.
And we have technology NFL. Now, too. We have great cameras. We have high-tech cameras to where you see every nick, speck, and dust, even the turf pellets coming up off the ground. And you see when people make mistakes now. Yeah. I think 20 years ago, we didn't have that type of technology, and some of that stuff got swept under the rug.
And we are back, for better or worse, in high definition right after this. Cool. I'm Patriots This Week.
Terrible. All right, it's Jets Week, and it's time for your Zoe Show. We're going to take a look at Matt Forte. I love the addition of Matt Forte. 2 years, $8 million for the Jets. Why? Dual threat. Two quick looks at the running game. Here he is right here. Why do I like him? Look at the box right here. Eight guys around the box for the Miami Dolphins. North-south runner. Makes one guy miss. He's a strong guy. A lot of experience. Remember how good he was with the Chicago Bears, especially when he came here to Foxborough. He played well. Again, LeGarrette Blount style play. Why do you say LeGarrette Blount style play? Pick a hole and go. Handoff off left side, bam, right through that hole, right to the house. Almost indicative of the same type of run LeGarrette had in San Francisco that got called back. And screen game, watch the timing. Everything's predicated on timing. Little play fake to the backside, slips it in right here. Doesn't look like much is cooking, but watch. Makes that first guy miss and then has the ability to find daylight. So Matt Forte, dual threat, no Eric Decker. Whole offense revolves around Forte. Go get your turkey. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're back at the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios in Matt Chatham this weekend in the Meadowlands. It's a meeting of two of your former teams, the Patriots and the Jets.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, when you go back and research what's been going on with these guys lately, the Patriots have won, but it's been super close game. 7-6, 3-3, 6. It's just been in that neighborhood, regardless of who was, you know, demonstrably better than the other. So I think clearly this year the Patriots have a much better team. The Jets are on the wrong side of things, but Yeah, might get a competitive game. Don't be surprised.
I think age is starting to catch up with the New York Jets, and I don't want to start on the outside with Darrelle Revis. That's the obvious one, right? But how many years have we studied for games and got ready for games? You look at their front seven and the amount of first-round talent, whether it's a top 10, top 5, top 8 pick. And now all of a sudden, you know, the Richardsons of the world, it's starting to wear on them a little bit. There's some infighting within the New York Jets, you know. Todd Bowles, another year into it. Is he the right guy? Quarterback issues. They got a lot of issues across the board. But the reason he's is talking about for these games being so close, they had a devastating front seven. And I think they kept them in games, and they were physical and big. And I think now it's starting to catch up with them a little bit.
How much do you think they miss Damon Harrison, who's now across the way, or he's in the same stadium, but he's in a different locker room as a New York Giant?
It could have hurt other teams more, except that they already had Williams with a high pick from USC, and they had Sheldon Richardson, and they had Wilkerson. So it's like that's the kind of guy that is a nice cornerstone, because he's not like a disruptive guy, but he's impossible to move, 330, 40, 50 pounds. But I think they've weathered that portion. I think the bigger issue for that team, there's been games. I mean, I know it's a couple months ago now, but I believe they put 7 or 8 sacks on the board in a game and still gave up 30 points. So it's like they're disruptive as all hell, and then their struggles on the back end, and the linebacker group's been a little bit flux too, so it's a group that just hasn't been able to put it all together.
You've already addressed the Todd Bowles decision to start Ryan Fitzpatrick this week,
right?
Because he was afraid of losing the locker room, and now Darrelle Revis is coming under a lot of fire.
Yeah, he is, and you know, you got guys like Manish Mehta, you know, one of the better cover beat writers on the beat, you know, writing some scathing articles, and you got to walk in that locker room, and it's a heck of a market, that New York market. But hey, Darrelle loves New York. That's why he went back there. I don't think to necessarily play for the Jets. I just think he likes the feel of being in New York City.
One thing I would say about them, though, that's it's a slight improvement from a year ago. Probably a nice one positive surprise that they've had. I mean, they lose Eric Decker, who's one of their more productive guys. But Matt Forte has been a really nice add-in. I think most people out there was a temptation to go be aggressive with him in free agency. But it's like, oh, man, it's a 30-year-old back. Is he going to still be able to play? He's been a high carry guy. He's been consistently productive.
He's a dual threat.
There's no letdown. Yeah.
North-south runner. He'll go outside. They'll flex him. You remember what the Bears used to do with him. And they got big receivers in Marshall and Quincy and Nunwa. So there could be some matchup problems here for the smaller New England corners in this type of game.
And Fitzpatrick's had a tough year. 13 interceptions. He's got the lowest passer rating, for what that's worth, among NFL regulars at quarterback. But he still is capable of putting together the kind of game with those receivers, giving him a lot of help, that could give the Patriots problems. Pats have lost 4 of the last 7 meetings in the Meadowlands with the Jets.
Puncher's chance. He's a guy who can go sling it 50 times and maybe put up a day, or he can throw 6 picks.
He's one of the streakiest passers in the league. I'm talking hot and cold. You know, when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he is really bad.
Right after this, Joe and Matt tell you about the outcome on Sunday. What to expect when the Patriots meet the Jets in their Week 12 encounter on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Marcus Mariota is proving to be a Titan in Tennessee. With 9 touchdowns over his last 3 games, Mariota is giving his team a shot at making the playoffs. Start the Tennessee quarterback when they visit Soldier Field to play the Bears. But have Brandon Cooks grab some pine this week. The Saints wideout is up against one of the top pass defenses in the league when the Rams head to the Big Easy. And if you need a running back, get James Starks on your roster. Hurt early in the season, the Packers' back is now healthy and should be a factor in Philadelphia on Monday night. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
All right, the final minute or so of Patriots This Week. Patriots Jets, Scott Zolak. What's the outcome? Who's your game changer?
One of the most non-talked about things through this season is the undefeated road schedule. They're going to win their next game on the road. That's 6 in a row on the road for this team. Julian Edelman's the game changer. This is where he finds his rhythm with Brady. And I'm not talking about big plays down the field. Little dinks and dunks. Position, you know, stick movers. 27-16, Patriots win this.
You're right in my neighborhood. So
yes.
I'm going 27-17 pace, just slightly above that recent history of how it's been. But Jet Killer is back. Rob Ninkovich, oldie but a goodie, is going to go out and make a couple plays like always does against this team.
Well, guys, I can see that you had a very good Thanksgiving.
What do you mean? I look good. Thankful for you, Turner. Yeah, yeah. Just call clean game on Sunday.
Yeah, and food doesn't make
we'll
you
do
taller.
We'll do our best. We'll be the Meadowlands on Sunday for the Patriots and the Jets. Thanks for joining us on Patriots This Week. For Scott Zolak and Matt Chad, I'm Bob Sosa again. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. So long, everyone.